outside of our authority. That would require state intervention. It's not home rule.
What's the situation with municipal agreements? And I remember back when we first talked about this, you had said some attorney general opinion back in the early 90s or something about respecting the municipal agreements, and that there weren't some things that would be, that it was a question if something like this would even require state statute, a change in state statute. And I didn't bring it with me, but I'm sure, Ed, you had brought that up about
it. I could only respond that I'm not prepared to respond to that tonight, because I don't recollect what it is exactly that you're referring to, except for the fact that if, in fact, we were to get past the numerous legal hurdles that may be involved in creating a regional jail, an intermunicipal agreement would be part of it, and there's no doubt that intermunicipal agreements don't have illegalities attached to them per se, or constitutional issues, but there are a lot of issues that we would have to deal with. To name just a few, we do have corrections law, we have civil service law, we have Article 13 of the Constitution, we have Article 9 of the Constitution, we have numerous articles in the general municipal law, all which would have to be dealt with simultaneously to get through this. And I can't tell you exactly, you know, sitting here, whether or not it could get done or not. I could just tell you it's a pretty significant lift. It's new.
And the other lift I think that we have enough information on was the shared services initiative that took place last year. We had 14 towns and 5 villages get together with Sean on multiple occasions to come up with lists of different wishes, I guess you would call them, for possibilities of shared services. And not one thing came out of that committee from 14 towns and 5 villages for various reasons, but there was not one thing that came out of it.
Well, there were things that came out of it. It just took a little bit more time.
There was more time.
It's a short time frame.
Right. Yeah, there's things that were discussed during those meetings that we would like to see go forward, and I think I was at some. We talked about more time in this coming year. We'd like to see, like, roads, for example. That was one that I thought was a home run, right? To share services on the roads. So I asked the county administrator to look into that this year. We have more time, and I expect that to take a really serious look about that, along with other things that we talked about, sharing different jobs in the towns and the villages and make them into one. And, there was numerous things discussed that.
There was 20-something.
Yeah, I
got through.
So because things haven't happened in the past, we shouldn't ever try to make things better? I mean, is that sounds to me what I keep hearing.
No.
It works hard, so let's not do it.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying.
Transformation and positive change and sustainability of a county and of towns rests on the ability to think creatively and do things better and different sometimes.
Just my take with the Commissioner of Corrections, they've been very gracious about allowing us to do a dual track, you know, one for the group, one for Columbia. However, just in dealing with them in the past, their consent to allow us to do it doesn't mean they're going to agree with whatever we come up with. And that has been the sticking point for many of these projects that we're concerned about, because the Commissioner of Corrections has the final say in whether or not something's built eligible for the corrections. So it's been the fact that they've allowed us to continue on. I just don't think they're consenting to the fact that we might go to Columbia. I still think that would be a real home rule message for the legislature, which, again, in the past results, we've not seen any positive action on that part. But anything else about Columbia? Again, this is just discussion. If we change minds, fine, we can. You know, we've lost nothing. But anybody else?
Bill, I had time early this morning. I had to reply to your email about this tonight. And one of the things was, and this is with the, and by the way, on this Sheriff's Association, you have to remember, and they may be right, but they are a special interest involved in this case. Every department that we deal with in this county is its own special interest across the state, in this county, in towns. And none of them want to give up things. But unless you, as a taxpayer, are willing to just keep forking over more and more money every year for this. And I'm not talking about the building of a jail. The building of a jail is a fixed cost in a lot of ways, minus the interest. I'm talking about year after year legacy increases, legacy costs. And you can't get away from that. You cannot get away from that. And all I said in that email was, we seem fixated. We do a study, pay for a study. I don't know exactly what it would cost. It was before I became a legislator, to see the needs of a jail facility. That money was spent. Money has been spent looking at design, construction. Money will be spent on the construction. Money will be spent on the interest. Money will be spent on the department year after year after year after year. And we all know that the main drivers to the cost of government increases are endless negotiated pay raises and benefit cost increases. And you can't get away from that. And there's people in that room that received this. And I'm not here to search anybody. These were the facts. So we spent this, and I did it just a quick thing. If you do this $51 million or $52 million, it'll be about $80 million by the time 30 years is done, paying just for that. At $5 million with our current jail budget, department budget at $5 million right now, times 30, is $150, $230 million over 30 years. And for the life of me, we can't look. So we're willing to spend and go through that whole method to spend, but we're not willing to do due diligence to try to save at least half of that? Half of that could potentially go back to the people, maybe to help this county prosper.
Okay, so that's the same argument you've heard over and over again, and yet we had the vote, and the vote was to not fund it. So that was the vote.
Then you got
it. And I don't think that nobody has failed to do due diligence. I think the people that voted not to pursue the shared jail have taken all the considerations into account. And that was their level best vote for the good of Greene County. It wasn't because they didn't want to do due diligence. I could tell you why I would vote it down for a few of the big reasons. First of all, I don't think it would ever work. Now, I don't have a crystal ball, but I just don't think Ed would ever be able to negotiate a good enough contract to keep all of the various issues tied them all up in a good way. Number two, I just believe we have a function, kind of similar to what Mr. Linger was saying. Greene County is a region where we have a duty right now to build a jail, and that's what I want to do. And I know we've been kicking this around for a long, long time, and the current jail seems to be getting worse. The Commission of Corrections is breathing down our neck. And I believe that the majority of the people, the vast majority of the people, would not want to do anything but build the jail here in Greene County. So to keep on saying lack of due diligence and, you know, we're losing credibility, I mean, that doesn't influence me whatsoever. I think we have complete credibility to build a new jail in Greene County. And I don't think we are not doing due diligence because we don't want to chase this dream that could take years and years and years and very potentially end up with nothing. And so, we've already had the vote. We've already had this debate. It's time to build a jail in Greene County.
And
again, going back to legacy costs, they would not be here in Winkler, but we'd be paying for them in Columbia. There's still going to be a cost associated with this project. We were going to Columbia County, it's not free. We would have to pay our share of it, and that would include the O&M and the operation of maintenance, as well as the capital cost, the infrastructure of the pod and or renovations. So we don't get away from paying for corrections. It's just a matter of where that money goes. I think that's another concern.
But nevertheless, Bill, we haven't had the opportunity to talk about the intangibles and all those components because we stopped it midway, just like the original jail task force. There was components that we should have talked about, like API and other solutions, and we failed to do that. We just cut the jail task force off. Then we created another committee because people got upset and stuff over the years. So we're in the same boat, just like we are today. Again, rehashing the jail. And it's good that we talk about the shared stuff, but what about the design plans that we have now? And everybody says about legal and illegal. Well, illegally, you're moving the county sheriff's administration out of the village of Catskill and down to Catskill.
That's not right.
Not illegal to move the sheriff's administration. Right now, it's not legal to move the sheriff's civil.
Okay, they're civil.
Well, probably back when they wrote the law, that's probably all that was there.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. I don't know. I haven't researched when the law was written, but to me, that makes more sense.
That's because the rest of the responsibilities that the sheriff has are given by the county. The law goes to them,
and when our forefathers wrote our constitution,
we could pull that tomorrow.
They had black pellets and knives to survive.
This board could stop the investigator's office tomorrow. They could stop the law enforcement end of it tomorrow. And the sheriff would strictly handle the jail and the civil office. We can do it tomorrow.
Well, I'm just trying to point out that it's not free to go to Columbia County. It's going to be a cost involved. That has not been determined yet. As far as the task force goes, we had two jail task forces, one in 2002, one in 2012. And we had an ATI task force, which came up with a lot of able ideas to make our population count reduced. And we've got a new ATI commission task force, which also came up with some good ideas, which we're pursuing now. So I think all those are in place, Kevin. I disagree with that. We've done nothing there. I just think that it's a matter of sitting down and deciding what's going to work and agreeing on what's not. We do want to keep the population as low as possible. And I think the trend is towards a lower population. However, it's only been for a couple of years. We have no real strong data over a 10-year, 20-year period like we did before. So the current, and this is what the Commission of Corrections looks at. They look at the long-term trend, not just the short 1 or 2 years. And that's where we're stuck with this thing about the size of it being approved by them, not by us. But again, that would have been true for either option.
Bill, I don't know if I clarified myself properly when you talk about a shared or consolidation. But we in Greene County are gaining 60,000 people to help pay for a jail operation. And Columbia County is gaining 48,000 people, or however many property owners. It's called expanding the tax base. So you alleviate the burden more of the limited tax base that we have now. That's the whole concept behind consolidation. And I would be open to any kind of consolidation in any departments. But this, along with having to build a $51 million facility and pay for that too, is just overwhelming. And I reiterate, people I've talked to, they understand that part of it. Sure, they, have mixed emotions about maybe some job loss or things like that, but this trend of paying more taxes, we've seen it over the last two budget cycles. How were we able to get away from tax increases? We weren't. We had to go up on taxes, on property taxes at the county level. This doesn't stop unless we do things like this, at least fully look into it. And all I would request is everyone, like Lee said, he understands it failed in public safety, and that the majority spoke.
But I think everyone around this room should say yay or nay to it. And if it still goes down, it goes down, and that's it. And at least people can say, their constituents, hey, I voted nay for this reason, or I voted yay for this reason. Explain themselves to the constituents then. That's all. And then we move on. I got plenty to talk about on a jail bill too, so it doesn't matter either way.
Another piece of due diligence, it seems to me, is making sure that the public is aware of, you know, sort of the accurate information to the extent that we have it, when we're talking about, you know, the single biggest capital expenditure by how many times over and quadrupling the current debt. I think we hear over and over again, people don't really know about this and they don't know the details. In fact, our organization that represents our businesses just today had a developed a position and shared with all of us. I don't know whether we've all seen it, and part of the message was the public doesn't know about this, and as soon as some of the details are shared, you know, it becomes the response is, well, this study, this exploration is a no-brainer. So it seems to me a piece of due diligence and something that is different from the time that the vote first happened at public safety is more and more people are finding out, and our business community has spoken very clearly today asking us to do something. That, to me, carries weight, and I would think would carry weight with all of us sitting at this table.
Yeah, the public knows the tip of the iceberg of this whole thing. That's why this body exists, because it's our job see the whole iceberg. The only part of the iceberg the public has seen and heard is that we're going to save lots of money. No kidding. I don't think anybody that voted to not spend more money on that feasibility study was under a misconception that this hypothetical shared jail wouldn't result in saving money. But that's not the end all and be all. There's a lot more to consider. That the public, I haven't heard one person, and I've gotten a lot of push from the public to keep exploring the jail. And the only thing I heard was how much we're going to save. No, none of the members of the public, you know, even that letter you talked about today from the county, what was it again?
Chamber of Commerce.
They didn't say anything about a lot of the issues, you know, about whether the state's going to pass a law to allow the jail to exist, the shared jail. They didn't talk about whether it's constitutional. They didn't talk about all the issues about how can two sheriffs work together, pull this off. They didn't talk about whether it was feasible to have a contract that we could negotiate to keep all the parties happy. They didn't talk about how much it would cost to build a jail in Columbia County, and I don't think anybody knows. And there's been a lot of time, and I don't see any evidence whatsoever. I don't know how many beds Columbia County has, how many new beds we would need to build. I mean, and this has been going on for months. And yet the most rudimentary stuff.
You said we've done our due diligence.
And nevertheless,
but yet you don't have any.
No, actually, I didn't say we. I said that you're characterizing us as not doing due diligence, and that's not true.
I agree. That is what I would characterize.
Okay, well, that's
great. And because we don't have those answers.
And we haven't even studied those answers.
That's exactly the point.
The positions that you just brought out, 8 items, we haven't had a chance to even discuss all those.
But the point is the public, the more they learn, first of all, they're never going to learn what we know. That's why we're here. And to defer to the public, because the public can be stirred up, and their emotions can be stirred up, and they can all say, you guys are doing a bum job because you're going to spend $80 million, and we could save, you know, $70 million building in Columbia County. I mean, that doesn't help me whatsoever. And the Chamber of Commerce letter did not shed one iota of light on it. They didn't elicit any facts or talk about any facts that are relevant that could help us make a decision. Okay, the only issue they brought up is how much we could save. That's not the issue that's driving everybody's decision. There's a lot of other issues.
I just for Lee, your field, you're a patent lawyer, right? And you do patenting, a lot of patent work.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, you get a lot of ideas come through that people want to patent, patent, patent. But every once in a while, there's an idea that changes things. And so I know people want to feel like, hey, this can't work, this can't work. But if everyone says that every day, we're going nowhere. Nobody's going anywhere.
But you're forgetting that there's a jail, there's issues about how the prisoners are being housed, you know, whether the facilities are adequate. And, you know, I've taken a tour through there, and I don't think they're adequate from the side of our employees who have to go to that place every day to work in that environment. I don't know how anybody could have good morale to show up.
There's no disputing that.
Okay, and the jail facilities from a prisoner point of view seem to be substandard, and I think the Commission of Correction says so. Right. And how long has this county let this go, and how much longer are we willing to let it go? It's within our power to build a jail, and it's our responsibility to build a jail. You can talk about due diligence. Okay, I'll sacrifice your Columbia County due diligence in favor of my desire to build a jail and uphold our duty in Greene County. So, okay, I'll trade your due diligence for doing my job. It's a fair trade.
Excuse me, Bill. Jonathan is one of my constituents. Can I be raising his hand? Jonathan?
Yes, I'm Jonathan Gross. I had a little trouble hearing. Did you call or ask for another vote on the feasibility study or a show of hands?
I had asked to settle people's minds or whatever, that everyone wanted to go around and support it or not support it.
As a citizen, I have to say that I hear one voice in opposition. I hear one voice in opposition. And I would be curious. I mean, this is the whole thing. This expenditure makes no sense to me as a citizen, as a business owner. But I'd like to see a show of hands. Because I'm hearing only one voice in opposition to this, and I'm not hearing from anybody else. So I agree with you, and I'd be curious.
We weren't going to take any votes or make any decisions. We're trying to listen to each other. We've been trying to resolve ourselves just through the roles. And the Columbia County option is to vote down the radio public safety. Did not vote in the full vote. That's correct. I think Mike was saying that those people that did not have a chance to vote, maybe they should have a chance to vote. And that's why I felt tonight that we expressed those concerns. And at least keep that out in the open so we don't know where this stands.
I think there's another issue that hasn't been addressed either, and that's the age and the condition of the Columbia County Jail currently. They don't have direct supervision, correct, Mike?
Correct.
And that's something that the Department of Corrections is looking for now in all the new jails that are being built. What if in 10 years after we spend money over there and put an extra pod on and give up all our jail, the Department of Corrections comes in and says to Columbia County, okay, you've got to rebuild your jail somewhere. Then where are we? I just don't like being at somebody else's behest for something this important.
But Linda, we would build to current procedures. Columbia County would have to also, if they built a new pod. They would have to build it to the aspect of the
pod. I'm not talking about a pod. I'm talking about their entire facility, of which we would become a part.
So it's actually modified direct supervision. And,
right.
And for those of you that don't know, this idea of direct supervision is not exclusively about the infrastructure of a facility. It is in part about the infrastructure of the facility. It's in large part a management style. And it's about, and if you read, you know, the National Institute of Corrections or anybody that sort of, you know, is the sort of the definer of this whole idea, it's about a management style as well as the structure. So
New York State is telling us what they want our management style to be.
Absolutely. But this, so a piece of it is about the construction, but that's just one piece. And part of it already is, you know, what's built new would presumably be direct supervision. But this is about the style of interaction between COs and inmates, people incarcerated. It's in large part about that. It's a management style.
I'm not talking about that in general. Just something that I brought up because I hadn't heard that.
Right.
My concern is, what happens if they have to build a whole new facility?
No, well, what I'm saying is...
Where do we go then?
It only has in small part to do, or in part to do with the infrastructure.
But their jail is an aging facility.
How corrections officers are trained and how they interact much more directly with the inmates.
Not my major concern.
Okay, but we could accommodate for your concern.
How?
Through the management style, and that's what I'm talking about.
Management style.
Two pieces, right. So,
how old is the existing structure? Is the question.
Yeah.
Got it.
30 years.
Yeah.
88 it was opened.
Yeah.
And Linda, you bring up a good point, and I have the same concern about the age of the facility over there and how much longer they have on that existing facility over there and what happens next. Very good concern, and I join you in that.
Could that be added to the feasibility study?
Yeah, isn't that a well,
that's part of that feasibility
of
study.
Part of the feasibility study, if I, you know, I took a ride over there, and there it looks like they're just backfilling all along the entryway on the road in there. I mean, looks like a maintenance building or whatever. Is this plot of land even feasible for a facility? I'm not saying they can't demolish and put on a pod, and then we're happy as far as right now, but that land is washing out every couple of years. Whenever water's high, I mean, the water's washing away the entryway into the road going in. Basically, what I'm saying, I think that needs something that needs, you don't want to buy a Tucker. You don't want to, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and then all of a sudden, you know, once the rest of the facility becomes antiquated, all we have is the pod. Where is it that it's contiguous, which the Commission of Corrections asks, so that way you're not eminent domain and you have a place to build out when you have to build an addition on it, and if it's antiquated and it reaches its, you know, maximum life. I think these are things that we need to look at. I mean, you want to throw however many millions of dollars over
for 40 years, that's the feasibility study. And it may come back. If this would have been approved a month ago, I think they had said May, it would have been, we would have had results on this, the coring and all of this. And if it came back that, hey, this is a difficult build, I think that there's the large majority, I may still be questionable on it, but I got to tell you, it would be like, okay, we can't build there. That won't work. And then you're faced with having to build.
Yes.
We'll never know. I mean, again,
if I may, just to go back to the current state of our jail as of April today, the one consistent message we're hearing is we need a solution of some sort. What needs to happen in 2018, Sean, to keep our jail operational as is? What generalized repairs, upkeep, investment do we have to make this year?
Areas that aren't open. It's the aging of the border lines themselves. Many of them are exposed lines. Some of them are actually buried in concrete. So as the cognitive regulation of the line, the constriction of the steam happens with the breaks, we just replace what we have. So I'm not real concerned about border lines. And the general facilities, you know, it's 100 years old. The oldest part, there is a newer addition that's 30 years old.
40.
So, 40. Mm-hmm. So and then there's the continued issuance of a variance by the state because the facility is acting. It's not really compliant. There's recreation yards. There's a number of structural things you can't repair. You can't fix. It's too old.
And what, as of today, how many cells are we allowed to have open?
40. However, we have one of the other units closed down because we don't have any central toilets in it with them rotting out.
So we have the ability to have 40 cells, and that's 40 inmates that we could have.
Right, but there's another unit besides that we've had to close down. Drop that number even more.
I'll drop
because
that
number. There's no toilets or sinks in there that are operational.
And how many inmates are we boarding out as of now?
As of today, 28.
And that all of them are going to Columbia County?
No.
Where else are they going?
Ulster.
And Sean, who's the company that you mentioned the other night that's going to do the secondary study of the building?
Caterskill.
Okay. Now, I know we had Delaware go back and turn the deal task force and look at the building and give us recommendations and stuff to fix it. And I believe that we did marginal aspects of that.
That's right.
Here we are in 2018. We've been talking about the jail for almost 4 years, 5 years. And yet we still haven't come out with a 5-year or a 10-year plan for the jail to rehab it if needed. If we would have did the original study that I asked for back in the original jail task force, we would know the full condition of the jail. We asked Pike to do that, and the assumption that they did do that during one of the meetings, they said to me, we did not do it, we just did a walkthrough. So we just did a walkthrough and look at the condition of the building. That's not how you do a complete inspection of a building, to know what the structure is, the components of that structure, or anything. Right now we have $1.1 million left over from the sheriff's budget from last year. I think we need to really invest in that building if we're going to continue in this path that we are tonight, because I don't see us having a solution unless we start talking about more details and more components of it.
I still have a question. What needs to happen to me? Have we surpassed the building season for 2018?
No, we're close. I have a window about 8 weeks before I lose the balance of the intensive.
And we should be working our tails off to make sure that that doesn't happen. And chasing down the Columbia County option, spending more time tonight, how long we've been talking about it tonight, is lost opportunity to get in the 2018 construction cycle.
Sean, what have we already invested in the Coxsackie site?
I have to take it to the budget, $2 million.
With that being said, what are the infrastructure needs for that site?
That's rather a broad question, so
yeah. With in regards to like water sewage.
The offsite water sewage one that are about.
And the infrastructure that would be built that allows for how much of the growth on the cell to be potentially built on
the. Well, the original design had two additional piles.
How many would that add?
A big amount of about.
How big can we make them?
60.
So 120. In addition to the 130 of the original build?
Well, that build 130.
Now it's about 98. So it'd be 98 plus 120.
Could double block a portion of that as well. Could you construct under those guidelines?
So even if we were to go with the 90 cell facility today, the ability then to expand to 120 would be there, both infrastructure-wise and then the additional pods thereafter. The sheriff's office, with or without movement, how much would that save to remove the square footage of the sheriff's office from the current jail plans?
Well, just from a square footage standpoint, it was estimated to be approximately $1.99 million. However, that would have to be tempered with redesign costs.
That's what, yeah, so follow up on that question.
I don't
know. As I said, that'd be a hard number. Yeah. What do you think of the length of time that would take to go back to remove that section of building?
I'd have to say weeks.
When we originally looked at the 103rd bed facility, do you recall the tax burden for assessed value of $150,000 approximately?
$36 per $100.
All right. And shared services grants. Lori, maybe you could speak to this. When they spoke about the ability, if there was some sort of shared services initiative, what would be the grant opportunity for that?
20% of the 10-year cost savings would be the complete grant. It's a phased program. The first phase, we'd be eligible for $50,000, which is what we've referenced would cover the, you know, lion's share of the feasibility study. And then the second phase, oh, I don't remember off the top of my head, I think it's maybe, Mike, do you remember? It's a 35%, I think, of the total 20%, you know, the total eligible amount, which again is 20% of the 10-year cost. And then the other 65-some-odd percent would be at the tuition. But the total is 20% of what the 10-year cost savings would be.
And
it's not a competitive grant.
No, it's not a competitive grant.
Was it $25 million?
The funds are limited
for this purpose.
Yeah, it's absolutely not a competitive grant.
So just to confirm with the date that was given earlier in this discussion, the Columbia County Jail was built in 1988.
It was opened in 1988.
And it is a modified direct supervision.
Indirect. Lineal with a small portion of doctor.
Okay. So Legislative Rivera brought this up a long time ago. Was it ever brought up with the Board of Supervisors? And certainly to echo what Legislator Ferguson said before about Albany County and potentially other counties, about a shared service facility that we build here. Like, how long is the construction going to take? If we were to decide to build in 2018, when would the jail site in Kentucky be built?
Probably 18 to 21 months. So I think that might be some big
gap. 2 or 3 years. That put the Columbia County Jail at almost 35-year-old jail, depending on that. Was there ever conversation with the Board of Supervisors for those who attended the meeting?
Yes, there was.
And what was their vision for that?
They weren't interested at this time, but when I had mentioned to it, if both counties can realize enough savings and squirrel money away, towards the anticipation that both counties then would have to eventually build a new facility because of Columbia County's age now, that you could basically, with a portion of those savings, self-fund the construction rather than have to go to bond at that point. If you could hold the line on making sure you dedicated a certain amount to a type of fund for that. And they really didn't. We didn't pursue it any more than that. It was just a passing thing. But they were understanding of that point that, yeah, maybe in 30 years or 20 years that they might have to, because their facility is past its age. God, I would hope not. I would hope that public officials can make sure that you build a building of this cost to at least last 50-plus years.
Why?
We have a 40-year-old section that's not so great. You know, it depended on the building codes at the time and materials being used and things like that, which we don't know.
But you also have to have strategic planning. For example, the roof on this building.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
We took the proactive approach to it and save a lot of money by going out and getting the roof fixed now and getting it set at warranty. The same thing with that building. Over the years, we have not put a dead set into it to bring it up to what we need to. Over the years, for not having a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 25-year plan. And we don't have that for any of our buildings.
All right, we're going to the next topic. We've been talking about it anyway. It's the Green County Jail here on the Capitol site, which is another option that we discussed and discarded because we thought the jail itself being 100 years old in most parts would not be suitable to renovate, not be suitable to tear down and then reconstruct. However, it was an option, and with the declining jail numbers, the fact that we're now boarding out 28, you know, 40 available, 68 total. Everybody still want to talk about that particular option?
I think originally, Bill, if we went and got the information for that building during the first jail task force, we would have the information, but we never vetted that. We never looked at that component and tangibles about that building.
The one, the jail task force in 2012, which I think the consensus of that particular group, when you look at the minutes, was that we not build there, that we tear that down and give it to the village. But now we still have it, obviously, since 2012. And my concerns with this, I think you see that these ones are sensitive, and it was a very small parcel to start with, a very small parcel in the village of Catskill. It would need the same upgrades that we're talking about for any generator build if we're going to construct or renovate it to keep it here. It would have to be vertically built if we're going to use that same parcel, which is more expensive than, you know, laying out horizontally as we do with the other two options. It would if we're going to use eminent domain, that would be a question that we'd have to decide as well, because we have to take parcels adjacent to the structure itself would require eminent domain by this board. And if we're going to tear that down and rebuild it, we'd have to board out all the prisoners during the time that we do that construction, about 44 months. Does anybody still see that as an option?
No, absolutely not. I think building it vertically in a historic downtown is just a crazy idea. You're going to have a building that is higher than the view shed of the street above it, and you'd be taking down houses on that one side of the street to accommodate expansion of the jail, and that puts you right in the middle of a historic registered or residential area, the east side residential area. So I don't see village people is accepting that at all. I wouldn't if I lived in the village.
And I think we had a recommendation from SMRT and Pike both that it was a bad idea and very expensive.
And you still are not really doing anything to address parking.
The other question about it needing to be close to the Greene County Courthouse, I think it's about, might be better estimate, but 30% of our inmates are in the Greene County Courthouse. Most of them have to travel through the other municipal courts throughout Greene County. So having a place next to the courthouse is convenient for 30%, but it doesn't necessarily have to be true for the rest of them. Mike, is that very correct?
Actually, I would say like 95% of the inmates start off in the local court first, and then they end up transferred to the county.
You're my representative, so you're the. I'm in Athens, actually.
No,
He'll never let me talk.
No, I did let you talk. I did let you.
No, you said tonight you wouldn't.
Oh, that's right. And I say tonight, no.
Welcome back on your
word. We'll do it in court. I don't care.
It kind of ties into the Catskill option just a little bit. Is how much are we paying for boarding out at the moment?
$75 a day.
What's our annual? I should say that. What are we planning our budget per year?
We have $750 in the budget.
$750,000. How much is the cost for the annual bond for the next 30 years? Approximately 51 million.
It's 2.8. But you net out the reduction of the boarding, so.
Speaking of the village of Catskill, if there was, right now we have $500,000 in the jail budget to just take the building down, right? So if that was to go to I'm just going to use it as a private sector parking garage, let's envision that for 2 seconds, behind the courthouse, and gave the property then back, that's across the street from the courthouse, through Staff Fitness over to the white building there, the apartment building, and let that be built upon for economic development of shops in the lower end, part of Hilltop, and then private sector parking spot. Could we ever estimate what that type of sales tax revenue plus property tax revenue would be? Would it be impossible to do, or
what kind of shop is it?
Would depend on what
are they going to sell? What's their volume?
What's their assessed value?
I guess, so, yeah, it's like, is there anything new that we can do? New plan of
We had vacancies on the existing Main Street. I don't know if there's a market for additional office space.
The point being that if it were used for commercial development, it would offset the cost.
Trying to look at if it's $750,000, you know, minus the $2.8 million that we're quote unquote bringing down to $2 million, what then would that take down to even more? How that would that assess the per property back on the tax? Well, we're going to want okay. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, just the other one that we spent a lot of time on, one task force in 2012, and this board here in particular for the last 3 years, has been the design that we've proposed for Coxsackie, New York. And that has been based on the fact that we have property given to us by the state of New York, 50 acres in Coxsackie, near the production facilities that already exist there. We did attempt a bond issue for $44 million in 2017 that was voted down, that was reinvigorated or brought back or reconsidered in 2018, which is where it is right now, the USDA. The bonding for that has gone up to about $52 million because of increasing cost of commodities, which is what Sean pointed out happened because of the timeline and because of the use of those materials and other construction that's currently taking place. So, ignoring the other two options, if we're going to look at just the green option in Coxsackie, one of the holdups has been the right sizing of that jail, make sure it's the right size. Right now, it's came down from 130 beds to 80 with 19 or 18 transition beds. That's a total of 98 that would be possible in that location. And so that's brought down the cost, originally brought down the cost, now it's been upped again. But the Sheriff's Administration was part of that package. The Sheriff's Administration, which includes all the road patrol, locker rooms, and sheriff, undersheriff, lieutenants, and so on, would all be housed in that one location in Coxsackie, taken away from Catskill. And that was a holdup for some of the people here in the room. So my argument has been that, and Catherine pointed this out, that the sheriff's civil office, the civil office, which deals with subpoenas and such, has to be in this case, correctly?
So, absent a referendum.
Unless we do a referendum, I suggest that maybe we should consider if that's going to be the case. But if that civil office can be located right here in this building, and the rest of it, the administration part, outside of that, could go to Coxsackie if need be. That is a holder for some of the voters in this room. So the question is, besides the known ones that hold on, anybody else has that same feeling? You kept it in Catskill.
How does it affect operation of the sheriff's department?
Sheriff, from discussions with us, I think at public safety, has been pretty much in favor of putting everything in one location. It's easier to do the schedules, it's easier for the people to, but besides, the road patrol is scattered already. We've got auxiliary places in all, most of the towns in the county. So really, the people that are at that administration meeting, where they would come to those meetings, they have to come to some location. We don't want the sheriff traveling to two different locations, one in Catskill, one in Coxsackie.
And to keep the whole administration part of the sheriff's department in Catskill, would we have to do new construction somewhere or renovation?
We'd have to renovate, we assume the renovation would take place in the current sheriff's office right there, next to the jail, which is an older building itself. It's not ADA compliant.
Can we ask for the undersheriff's opinion on, or I'm sorry, the superintendent of the jail's opinion on how it would affect operation, or someone else in the sheriff's department? Can they shed light on how it would negatively affect the operation of the sheriff's office? Keep the whole administration part of the sheriff in Catskill, as opposed to moving it to Coxsackie with the jail.
First off, you're operating two buildings. You're paying the upkeep of two buildings. You're paying for heat. You're paying for the services. Sheriff interacts with the jail as well as the undersheriff on a daily basis. do that by telephone, but, you know, the meetings are...
Fax, email?
Fax, email, iPads.
Can we just...
Yep, the meetings that take place on a daily basis would be supervised. Meetings on the general operation of the office would be affected.
We did have a cost estimate as well for rehabilitation, a couple different options actually for the Catskill site.
No, no.
For the Catskill site,
never.
We
had a formal plan by Pipewell that gave those for that facility.
Yeah, I came up with one.
Right.
Brand new facility.
I'd like to see that documentation then, and report. If there's a report that was done on that building, I think all the legislators have a responsibility to look at that report. But there's no report.
Yeah, you had an email. Three options of rehabbing what was there. We had an option of tearing down and building new, and an option that included purchasing the St. Pat's campus, I believe it was.
That was hypothetical numbers.
Right.
They never did a physical report of it. Okay?
Everything so far has been hypothetical numbers. You can't get numbers until you pass a bond so you can put it to
the same architects that want to build
it.
Right, and we had Delaware
Everything
going there.
Everything is estimates to this point.
Right, we had Delaware going there that wanted to do the rehab for the building. They gave us them because they have a big stake into it because they're leading the project out in Coxsackie. Why wouldn't they give you that report?
Was that report, I just don't remember. I remember the report. I just don't remember the number. It's been changed numerous times. The number of cells.
And I think if I remembered correctly, the cheapest of the three options was tearing down and building new square footage on this site.
No.
I mean, the cheapest of those three options. It was $1.9 million savings to pull it out of the Coxsackie building and $3.2 million? To build here?
Yeah, 3.8 and something like
New York State is not citing that the sheriff's administration is the problem. The building is not the problem.
The fourth option of that was nothing.
Right.
Bill, did you look into, did you say, I know Herkimer County is right now in the process of building a jail as well, significantly larger for significantly less money?
I think Bill or Mike, could somebody speak to this? Because I believe that... I got this question from a constituent who came to our last public safety meeting. We had there in the other room. And he asked me about Herkimer County. I think they could do it so much cheaper. And I looked up online. I could not find any actual estimates of what they spent. I did believe that they had gone from $44 million to 30 something, 35, 32. And that,
32 million.
They took out their sheriff's administration as part of that reduction in cost. And I could not find the original board minutes. I looked at their board. I couldn't find those numbers.
I talked to their budget director out there. $32 million facility. There's 130 beds, no sheriff's administration. They saved $4 million by not putting the sheriff's administration. They pulled 9,000 square feet out of that facility to save $4 million. There's a whole list.
But it hasn't passed either.
I don't know where the lawsuit is as of today. By who?
The property. They can't get the property. I spoke to the jail administrator out there this afternoon when I heard about those numbers. And that quote that everybody's throwing around of $32 million was 5 years ago. They shelved it because of the cost at that time. They brought it out in 2017, and their estimate is now $42 million with zero contingency. And the reason they don't have any office space for the road patrol is because they don't have a road patrol in Herkimer County under the sheriff's office.
Okay. So I just got figures that they just passed it for $32 million in the end of February 22nd. Approved the $32 million bill. And it's in front of the Commission of Corrections right now. They expect approval. We have to bid by July. So Somebody's not telling the truth here. Don't know who.
I'm only quoting what Captain McGrail told me this afternoon. This is the numbers he gave me when he called him.
Well, that's the budget director that gave me these numbers, so.
Schoharie County's was estimated at 44.3.
All I want to know is 32 million for 130 beds. If this is the case, we got 98 beds and we're 20 million more.
Schoharie County was estimated at 44.3 for 68 beds. And I believe their bids are supposed to be open tonight.
They're going to build the Taj Mahal out there because FEMA's paying for it.
FEMA pays for 75%.
Correct.
Just going back to the sheriff's administration, is that still an obstacle to getting that design complete?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to see the current print that we have for design of the building, because somehow it went from 88 to 80, yet the diagram didn't change. So do we have an official print from SMRT for the design of the building?
You have it.
And could you go get that so we can start looking at it, Sean? And what revision number are we up to on that print?
Thank you.
Okay, request of $5,500.
Three of those are his.
They going on to the.
Linda.
He wasn't called on by his representative.
I need a motion to pay.